Sentence, given the nature of everything.
That it's good that he'll be incarcerated for the rest of his life.
All right, some thoughts from the Penn State people as Jerry Sandusky goes the final distance in a courtroom being sentenced, looking not one bit remorse about what he's done and still in denial over it. In fact, his attorney's waiting to file an appeal. So the former Penn State football coach is where we start. Hey, hey, everybody. Kate Delaney, America Tonight. Every nook and cranny, flyover states, and all the places in between. Who can't relate to the way you feel when you hear about the crimes of Jerry Sandusky? So finally, justice is served because Judge John Cleland said Sandusky is going to face no less than 30 years. He's 68. He's done. No more than 60. With credit for time served. Oh, well, he's done. Absolutely. He was convicted of abusing 10 boys over a 15-year period. People think there are a lot more that haven't come forward. So he had faced a maximum of 400 years in prison. His attorneys now can appeal the decision. Supposedly the word is that they're going to do that because they vowed to do that. And Sandusky had to face the music with a couple of victims actually getting their chance to confront Sandusky. And I would think from a therapeutic point of view, to be able to call out somebody who did the most heinous thing you can think of, the violation of that trust physically, mentally, and everywhere in between, good for the people that came forward and were able to do that and be able to say what they thought of Sandusky. And he absolutely showed no remorse. I mean, just none whatsoever in court. He crossed a boundary that should never, ever be crossed. Never. And you can only imagine what these families have gone through that maybe didn't know what happened, now know. Or maybe they knew and pushed it all aside because, remember, he was helping kids who were in terrible situations, had no father figures, that kind of thing for the most part. And he was that guy. And he completely abused that trust. Completely abused it. I mean, when you heard the story when it first broke and you were just, your mouth was wide open and you thought about, you got to be kidding me. And then everything, the house of cards at Penn State came down. The torment, the emotional prison these people have been in, for my money, the sentencing, they couldn't have done enough. In fact, if I were the judge, I would have just said, give them a 400 years or whatever, even if it's a ridiculous amount, just to prove the point. But he is absolutely done. And he is there at the precipice of self-delusion, narcissism, just defiant in the way that he stands in the courtroom, that he releases tapes, the pain, no acknowledgement for the pain that he has caused other people, zero, zilch, nothing whatsoever. And his attorney, Joe Amendola, said that he believes he could have gotten Sandusky acquitted if he had more time to repair the defense. Yeah, right. Well, then thank goodness, because he shouldn't have been acquitted, and he wasn't. So the victims got emotional, including victim number 6, who asked Sandusky to please repent or there is a bigger judgment to come. Number 6 was a recent college graduate who brought the allegations against Sandusky in 98, but no charges were filed. So he cried on the stand before testifying and said, I realize now how you manipulated me and what you did to me. I thought you were an incredible person. I know now the truth. The person I was, I changed. I became a social outcast. I didn't know how to process what you did to me. And unbelievably sad. Then there was another victim who looked directly at Sandusky, was just full of venom, spoke in an angry voice, and said he had come from a broken home and that Sandusky only made his life worse. I will not forgive you. I will not forgive you, but I will ask that all the other victims forgive me for not coming forward sooner. And Penn State always charging into things a little bit too late. The Penn State president, Rodney Erickson, released a statement that's were in the morning after he was sentenced early in the morning and said, "Our thoughts today, as they have been for the last year, go out to the victims of Jerry Sandusky's abuse. While today's sentence cannot erase what has happened, hopefully it will provide comfort to those affected by these horrible events and help them continue down the road to recovery." So I say to you, is this the way we should proceed when it comes to people who abuse their positions and manipulate and violate children? 10, you got to just think about this, 10 and 11-year-old boys. It's sad that part of it's over, but he's locked up. But did we learn anything from what happened with Jerry Sandusky? As a society, are we handling this correctly in the courtrooms across America? 855-266-KATE. If you want to ring in, throw in your 2 cents, 855-266-5283. And coming up this hour, too, we're going to get another look at this from somebody who went to Penn State and had passed by Sandusky. In other words, he knew of him, and Sandusky knew of him. So we'll get you an opinion from somebody who was there on campus, who had the second mile kid stayed in the same facility that that his kids stayed in. And again, can't say enough about trying to catch these predator type people before it's too late. And giving them, I think, the maximum. Because you're never going to, it seems as though you're never going to get that apology, that thing that helps the victims. I don't want to say get over the hump, because you never, I believe, would completely get over it. But at least there would be that thing, that apology, that acknowledgement. That acknowledgement that this is real. That this really happened. And we're going to do that. We're going to talk about that with Dr. Nick Pappas coming up in our third segment of this hour. In between the Sandusky conversation, we'll mix in what's happening politically. Polls couldn't be bigger. And the reason why is because we're getting closer to Election Day. We're less than a month in, less than 4 weeks to go. I hope many of you are doing the early voting thing or have plans to vote on Election Day. Unless there's a reason. For me, I like to actually go out and vote on Election Day. There's something about that to me. I would love to say that when I go and vote that there's a lot of people in line and I have to wait, and it's that whole, I think, civic pride and being an American and these free elections that we have. It gives me a real sense and appreciation to heighten awareness of the process. Because it is power to the people, and this is our power to exercise the vote. And if more people would do it, then I think things would be a little bit different with the popular vote. We could ditch the Electoral College. Boy, I hate the Electoral College. Part of odds and ends on the flip side include some arrests after that Philadelphia wedding brawl.
Preparedness is simple when you have the right stuff. And with the looming threat of economic collapse and possible service interruption, it's time to get the best-in-class preparedness stuff at DisasterStuff.com. DisasterStuff.com has been serving smart preppers for over 15 years with quality products like Berkey water filters. DisasterStuff.com is the official Berkey in-stock shipping center. And as always, free shipping on all Berkey products. Stock up on water barrels and accessories. Get Country Living or Wonder Mill grain mills, Excalibur food dehydrators, Tatler reusable canning lids, Sun Oven solar cookers, EMP bags to protect sensitive electronics, and don't be without your Life Straw personal water filter, all from DisasterStuff.com. Preparedness is simple with the right stuff from DisasterStuff.com. freedom through self-reliance and personal responsibility.
Making the right decisions is a challenge to investors. Are we going to see economic growth, slide into a recession, or at worst, depression? Hi, Ted Anderson from Midas Resources. We all know when a company acts irresponsibly, divesting ourselves in a move towards safety is prudent. When the market becomes volatile, U.S. treasuries are a safe haven. But what do you do when the U.S. government overextends itself and spends beyond its means? Many investors are turning toward gold as a common sense alternative to traditional paper investments. Midas Resources has put together a powerful book titled 10 Reasons to Own Gold, discussing costs, benefits, risks, featuring full color illustrations, weights, and measures. The book is free and can be yours by calling 800-686-2237. Paper investments are dwarfed by gold's 6,000-year history. Discover how gold may be right for you and your IRA by calling 800-686-2237. Whether buying or it's time for you to sell, the book is free. Call 800-686-2237.
Healthy soils grow healthy plants. So before you plant your survival garden this year, is your soil healthy? Maximize your crisis garden soil with EM1 from Terraganics. EM1 organic soil conditioner, fertilizer amendment, and compost accelerant provides healthier gardens and faster, efficient garden composting. EM1 from Terraganics.com quickly improves soil structure by increasing nutrient availability and converting organic matter into soil humus. This improves seed germination and root growth, improves plant quality, size, color, flavor, nutrient value of fruits and vegetables, and improves shelf life. And when rain is not in the forecast, no worries. EM1 improves moisture retention in soils, helping reduce drought stress. Just like you prepare all else, prepare your crisis garden for maximum yields with EM1 from Terraganics.com. Order now at Terraganics.com or call toll-free 866-369-3678. That's 866-369-3678. Terraganics. Life's getting better.
I was a lonely avenue. I never thought I'd meet a girl like you. Meet a girl like you. With all the hair and stormy eyes, the kind of eyes that hypnotize me through.
Everybody, I had no relatives, nobody connected to me involved in that wedding brawl that led to one death and involved 100 people in two wedding parties. Just sad. And another nick on the great city of Philadelphia, the seat of liberty. So check it out. So the arrest that we're talking about, 100 people involved in this, 3 people have been arrested since it all started on Sunday morning. It happened at Society Hill, the stone's throw away from Independence Hall. The uncle of the bride died of a heart attack. The police came in. They were swinging nightsticks. They tasered one of the people that was brawling. And the police lieutenant in Philly, this was all over the news there, Lieutenant Ray Evers talked about how they don't know how the fight started, just that it was this massive brawl, and you can't tell who's on what side when they're all in suits, because the fist just went flying. Give me a break. Philly is still a good place to go and visit. I just wanted to declare that to everyone out there.
What, are you kidding me?
Despite the wedding brawl. It's just sad that that happened. It did make me think this. How many of you guys out there, and perhaps women too, because, there was the day of calling people out. How many of you can claim that you've gotten into a fight, whether you really wanted to be in the fight or not? Where somebody came up to you and cold cocked you or started to swing their fists at you and you defended yourself and actually hit back. I've got a quick story for you. Growing up partially in New York before we moved to Philly, I might have told this on the air before, and I apologize if I'm repeating myself and telling a story that you've heard over and over again, but I don't think so. When I was in kindergarten, actually, and this was in Queens in New York, somebody, a kid who was in third grade, because people were laughing at him and somehow he picked me out of the crowd when I was the youngest, he decided to roundhouse me and smashed me in the face, you know, punched me. So I was taught that if somebody goes to do something to you, you defend yourself. You don't start anything. You take the high road. I mean, I knew that at five. And so, boom, I punched back. The kid is in third grade, comes to the door, the mother, and confronts my mother about your daughter hit my son. It's like, are you joking around here? She's in kindergarten. He hits her and she hits back and he's got a black eye. So I wear that badge of honor. That's the only time ever in my life I have ever fought with anyone physically. Are you kidding? I would avoid that at all costs. Matt, you know, this is really more, I think, a guy thing than a female thing, although it's not impossible. Have you ever been in any kind of a fight or been put in that situation where you had no choice but to defend your buddies or yourself?
I've been in altercations similar to that before, but I've never started anything, and I've never gotten into, like, a fight with another person, per se. It was more of like a, you know, like, I had a drunk friend who was causing trouble, so you're trying to get them out of that situation, or I had an occasion where there were two mutual friends of mine who were fighting each other, so I got in the middle of that and broke that up and got hit in the face. And then I just remembered this other time. It was the one time I actually got hit really hard in the face was I was at a pizza shop after their bar closed, and there was this really drunk kid in there. And I say kid, I was a couple years older than him, and he was probably like 19 or 20. And he was just being kind of a jackass and to everyone in the store and everyone who worked in the store. So I took it upon myself to take him and throw him out of the store. Everyone seemed very pleased with that move, except for him, who, unbeknownst to me, was waiting outside the store for me. So I came outside holding a pizza, and he hit me square in the, in basically my eye socket, knocked me down on the ground. I saved the pizza, though, and thankfully, like, there were people around there who kind of intervened and got him down on the ground. One of them was a buddy, and the other one were other people who were inside the store. That's probably the hardest I've ever been hit. But other than that, I usually stray away from those situations. One, because, I mean, just for personal safety. And then other thing is, too, is there are so many people and so many stories I've read about where people get in these drunken fights and there are these one-punch knockout kills where you're all drunk and you hit somebody in the face and they're so inebriated that they fall back and hit their head on the curb or something and they end up dying and you go to jail. And so I've told friends of, like, this same thing, where if you really, like, find yourself in no place where you're going to hit somebody, don't hit them in the face. Hit them in the gut and, you know, let people, like, handle it that way. Because if you hit somebody in the face, you are asking for so much trouble. Just...
Oh, I agree. Because there is that danger. They fall, they stumble, whatever. You cold cock someone, you don't know how they're going to react. You're in the heat of the moment, and then you're done.
And I think, you know how people always say that, you know, because of the, you know, violence on TV and movies, there's more violence. I don't think that's necessarily true, but I do think because of movies, there's an unreal perception of the damage violence causes.
Yes.
Where you see people in movies getting hit all the time.
Yes.
And they just, like, get
bounce
knocked
back
out for a bit and they
yeah.
bounce back. That's not all the time true. And people who are actual trained fighters will tell you this, that it's dangerous hitting people in the face if they are not a trained individual as well. Like, boxers, if you're going up against another boxer, it's a different story. But just, you know, you walk up to some guy in the street, you hit him in the face when he's not looking, there's a potential death waiting to happen.
Yeah, well said, Matt. He's absolutely right. There's an unrealistic expectation of what the whole fighting thing is. Part of it is the mixed martial arts, so popular, and you see the fighting there. Kids see that. They play the video games, and it's much different when you're actually involved in it, and the fist hitting the wrong person, wrong time, wrong connection can spell more than you're probably willing to give up. But almost everyone I know has had some kind of involvement in, I shouldn't say everyone I know, but a lot of people I know have had some kind of involvement like Matt's, where they're trying to pull their friends away from a situation. Something accidentally happens and they're in this skirmish or the melee or, you know, whatever. And he's right. The best thing to do is to not aim for the face because of what can happen. And if somebody falls over, smacks their head, whew, that's it. One time I worked for a thing called Sports Fan Radio, and it was great fun. Guys from all over the country worked with me, and we would go to this place called Mr. Magoo's. It seemed just like any other normal pizza kind of joint, but for some reason one night two people had gotten just smashed beyond belief. And let me tell you, I have never heard a punch hit so hard and land on somebody, and things just fly all over the place and people scatter trying to head for the exits, figure a way out, get out of the situation. So it's serious. And in this case of the Philadelphia weddings, this is supposed to be this happy occasion, and it ends up that there's people in suits who are flailing at each other. The cops come in and they have to taser somebody. They've got an uncle who probably was agitated by what he was seeing. He has a heart attack. It's like we had Don Wiskin on at the beginning of the week talking about the amount of heart attacks that now are happening. It seems like more than ever, which, by the way, go to heartdrop.com, check out Extendivite. I swear by this stuff. Blood pressure numbers went down, so did the cholesterol numbers. There's not a chance that I'm taking any kind of a roundhouse swing at anyone unless it was in major self-defense, but I feel confident that I would be calmer in that situation. I think that's what happened to the uncle, that he just had heart palpitations, and then before you know it, poof, full-on heart attack.
And there's so many situations, too, where you have somebody who's had a couple too many drinks who is, you know, making comments towards you and being, you know,
obnoxious.
Yeah. And when you get another person like that involved that has that same mentality, that's when a fight happens. Myself, when people are doing that to me, I usually come back at them verbally because I'm very quick-witted and I can do that. And then, to me, it's not worth it getting the fight because I've been in that situation before and it's not fun. And all you do is just escalate things when you take it to a physical side of it. And it's better to just kind of, you know, check your pride a little bit and walk away.
Yeah, absolutely. Walk away from it before you get yourself in much deeper. Dr. Pappas in the wings, that's next.
Fight back this cold and flu season with the world's best garlic extract, Alley C. Why Alley C? Because it helps your body fight viruses, bacteria, and fungi. Alley C has been scientifically proven in double-blind studies using low doses to greatly reduce the number, severity, and duration of common colds. Alley C contains 300 milligrams of stabilized allicin, the active ingredient in crushed garlic. Studies show Alley C is effective against MRSA, bacterial, fungal, and viral infections. One tablet of Alley C has the equivalent of 40 cloves of garlic. Alley C supports your body's resistance to all types of conditions and can help lower high blood pressure and high cholesterol. So boost your body's resistance to infection with nature's best garlic extract, Alley C. For more information and to order Alley C, call 877-888-7126 or go to garlichealthproducts.com. That's 1-877-888-7126 or go to garlichealthproducts.com for your Alley C today.
Are you tired of searching for great talk radio?
Something more important.
Search no more. We are the GCN Radio Network.
If you owe the IRS back taxes, listen carefully. Sweeping changes to IRS policies will help more people than ever eliminate their tax debts once and for all. And now, I can help you reduce or eliminate your tax debts and end your tax nightmare. Hi, I'm Dan Pilla. I've helped thousands of people reduce and eliminate tax debts they couldn't pay. And after more than 30 years of experience dealing with the IRS, I can tell you there's no such thing as a hopeless tax case. And with the IRS's new policies, it's easier than ever to put your tax debt behind you once and for all. Call now at 800-346-6829 to learn how I can help you. You know your IRS debt will not go away by itself, but you don't have to live in fear anymore. Call 800-346-6829. Learn how I can help you eliminate wage and bank levies, release tax liens, and negotiate a settlement with the IRS that will put your tax nightmare behind you forever. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to taxhelponline.com. That's taxhelponline.com.
If you like cow's milk, you'll love camel milk.
Yes, the newest, oldest thing in the world.
Camel milk has sustained civilizations for thousands of years. Here's just one user's testimonial.
My Lyme-stricken boy developed severe allergies to nearly every food he ingested. At first, I was scared to death to try camel milk, but he had no allergic reactions of any kind, nothing. The camel milk was wondrous in healing his GI issues, and it's the one thing I can attribute to his getting out of bed after almost a year spent there, too ill to do anything.
Camel milk is loaded with health benefits, far superior to other milk, is rich in B vitamins, and 3 times higher in vitamin C than cow's milk, 10 times higher in iron. Camel milk comes fresh or frozen from your trusted local family farm, Humpback Dairies of Miller, Missouri. To order, call this number, 1-417-848-7570. That's 1-417-848-7570. Call 1-417-848-7570 for camel milk, the best-kept health secret ever.
George Washington said, "Government is not reason, it is not eloquence, it is force, like fire. It is a dangerous servant and a fearful master." America's government is no longer the servant of the people and the protector of our liberty, but has become that fearful master. We the people must understand the nature of this government gone awry if we are to be successful in saving our country. America is being deliberately destroyed by a cabal of international gangsters so that she can be forced into subjugation to a one-world government. The God-given, unalienable rights of the Declaration of Independence are in jeopardy. We must not let them be stolen by ambitious and evil men. Utopia Silver Supplements believes it is our God-given right to make our own health care decisions however we deem best. If we can help you with your supplement needs and better health, then help us win this health freedom battle. Visit us today at utopiasilver.com. That's utopiasilver.com, or call 888-213-4338. Again, 888-213-4338.
Sandusky, the former Penn State assistant football coach, he's sentenced to no less than 30 years and no more than 60 years in prison. That all happened once again at a hearing on Tuesday. So effectively, that would be a life sentence. Jerry Sandusky is 68 years old. Another part of this is, and remember, he was convicted of sexually abusing 10 boys over a 15-year period, and faced at that point the maximum of 400 years in prison. He was confronted in the courtroom by a couple of his victims, and we're going to talk about that during this segment here on America Tonight. Please welcome back to the show Dr. Nick Pappas. An interesting twist, Dr. Pappas has a new book out called The Dark Side of Sports, and it's chock full of information about coaches' sexual deviancy issues and abuse and that kind of thing. And now some of the things that have changed. And coincidentally, Dr. Pappas played hockey at Penn State, too, and worked summer hockey camps there as well for like 25 years. Dr. Pappas, thanks for popping on America Tonight.
Hi, Kate. Thanks for having me tonight.
So initially, your reaction to Jerry Sandusky's sentence, what do you think, fair or foul?
Well, you know, compared to what the people that abuse children in Canada get, it's a slap on the wrist in Canada from what I've seen some of the coaches getting. So, you know, United States has more stringent consequences for this. And, you know, the only way to stop these these practices, these behaviors from targeting children is to, you know, impose harsh consequences. So, you know, it basically, it is what it is. And you know, if you're going to stop it, you have to impose the hard consequences. And this is a step in the right direction for that.
Yeah, I agree with you. Definitely a step in the right direction. And it's certainly, and you would know because you address this in your book, this would also raise the antenna up there across America about other things that can happen when it comes to coaches and kids, right?
Exactly. And, you know, since the Penn State scandal broke, I've been kind of informally tracking sexual abuse and or assault cases. And I've compiled over 80, and by this is not complete by any stretch of the imagination. I mean, there's a lot that I'm sure slipped by, but of the cases, of the over 80 cases I found, 60% involve coaches or administrators targeting underage males or females. So, you know, coaches are right in the mix of these things. And, you know, as recently as last week, I saw some New Jersey teachers, which included a soccer coach, were involved and indicted for having sex with students, female students, and there was a cover-up going on. So extremely disturbing to see more and more coaches at all levels, youth levels, including high school, being exposed in the media for their sexual abuse of underage males and females.
Yeah. In looking at, you know, what happened with Sandusky, I think to me the shocking or appalling thing was the tape that was released that he recorded in the when he was in the cell, and this gets released beforehand and talks about how he's a victim. Is this common? Is this common to the denial thing and to just flip it around when you're the person who's ultimately convicted of such a heinous crime?
You know, whenever you're talking about some of the traits of child molesters, some of the ones that come to mind are there is a refusal to take responsibility for what you've done in many cases, and at the same time a low empathy for being able to put yourself in another person's shoes, the victim's shoes per se, and understand what they're experiencing. So those two traits, in addition to, you know, a sense of entitlement that. You know, you're above the law, so to speak. And that's only magnified when you have somebody like an athlete or a coach involved, particularly, you know, a prestigious coach with the influence that, Sandusky had. And then there's the thing called a need for power and control. And, I think these traits, are very, you know, evident in this case pertaining to, you know, it'd be nice that, it's always nice for victims to get an apology, but in this case, you know, that's not forthcoming at all. And sometimes you wonder if a person talks themselves to the point where that inner dialogue that they have, that self-talk, so to speak, is going to such an extent that they actually believe that, you know, they believe what they want to believe when you tell it to yourself enough.
Yeah. What was it that ultimately led to you writing this book on the sexual culture of the elite level athletes?
Well, you know, during my career as a collegiate and professional athlete and coach, I saw things, I knew things, you came across sexually deviant things. And, you know, these behaviors and practices, they're flying under the radar because they're not always illegal. They're always harmful. And while they're not always resulting in sexual aggression, they can easily cross that line. And a number of athletes I talked to said, hey, you know, I saw what was going on during my career, and they would say, I wanted to write this kind of a book. And most of the guys said, you know, I'm probably not going to ever get around to writing this, but I'm willing to help you by being interviewed. So seeing things, knowing things during my collegiate and professional career as a player and coach, you know, it's not good. It's soiling our athlete culture. It's creating victims. And, it's not being addressed because it's flying under the radar, and, definitely needs to be addressed and stopped because, there's a high human cost to this.
Yeah. You know, and people ask this all the time. What causes this? What are the underlying causes of athlete sexual deviancy or this kind of aggression?
No, that's a great question. Okay, and it's not one thing where we can say, okay, here's the influence. We address it. We're good to go, and we'll be able to prevent this stuff. It's basically multidimensional influence that are kind of converging together. And I'll identify some of these now. One of them has to do with this thing called athlete or coach's privilege, where it's the idea that, you know, I'm the star. You know, I'm successful. They know who I am. And, you know, people have this sense of entitlement. Athletes have this sense of entitlement, that they can get away with things. They're above the law. And oftentimes they are reinforced by this absence of deterrence or a lack of consequences. And that just gives athletes and or coaches a green light to continue what they're doing. There's numerous themes in my book that are similar to what went on in the Penn State scandal, where it's a reoccurring theme of the cover-ups. Coaches, administrators looking the other way so they can honestly say, hey, I didn't know what was going on with these athletes. And they mean it. They're honest with this, but this gives a green light for these behaviors to continue. Another trait is this thing called masculinity. And it's a proving thing to have sex, with more women than the next teammate. It's very status producing. The stories, the humor, the entertainment that goes along with it. So there's a lot of bragging and bravado. And, you know, the reality is women are the next sport as soon as the lights turn off after the game or the practice is over. Now you add something called, the big alcohol consumption that's very prevalent in the athlete culture, and intoxication is going to make you do things that you'd never do sober. You know, and in addition, athletes are very competitive. They're always trying to outdo each other. That's why they're elite level athletes. So, you know, there's pressure to conform and strong peer pressure to, you know, be on board with some of these behaviors. Now add the component of sexually available females, which I have a chapter in the book, The Dark Side of Sports, about this. And not that sexual deviancy wouldn't happen without the high availability of sexually available females, but it happens that much easier. And then in the end, some of these behaviors do, in fact, cross the lines to sexual obsessions, addictions, and compulsions in some of the guys.
Yeah. How disappointing, I mean, obviously this is a layup question, but it's somebody who's investigated this, went through all this with the book and whatnot, and especially in your profession, but having that tie to sports and specifically having the tie to Penn State, when all this started to happen, it just had to make you heart sick. Did you feel that way?
You know, I did. And people have asked me, you know, did you plan to write the book? How did the timing of the book come? And, you know, I've been working on this book for 12 years, and some of this book was written researched while I was teaching camps at Penn State University. So, you know, as somebody who'd come in contact with Sandusky over the summers for numerous years, I knew who he was. He knew who I was without actually meeting him. You know, their group, Second Mile, would stay in the same dormitory as my hockey players, just on different floors. So I was interacting with the counselors from the Second Mile. And then to hear these allegations come out at first, and then to see this resulted in a conviction, you know, very disturbing for not only myself, but other coaches who work the camps with me, as well as other coaches who are on campus, you know, coaching at the intercollegiate level. So, very, very, disturbing to find this information and to see, you know, that this seemingly great cause was used, in a very, very destructive and negative way.
Yeah. Dr. Nick Pappas, thanks so much for joining us. Good luck with the book.
Thank you for having me on your show. And please check out my website, www.drnickpappas.com. It has extensive information about my background, the book, The Dark Side of Sports, the presentations that I promote to athletes and coaches and teachers as well.
Yeah, pick up the book, absolutely. Doc, thanks. We'll have you on again, hopefully under better circumstances, but we appreciate the time.
Thank you, Kate.
Have you ever heard of a pharmacist who discourages the use of most prescription drugs? Well, pharmacist Ben Fuchs is that person, and boy, is he fascinating. He's a nutritional pharmacist and skincare specialist who operates out of Boulder, Colorado. And to hear this man speak is nothing less than inspiring, because he's charismatic and makes a lot of sense. He asks, why take dangerous drugs when all your body needs to stay healthy is all natural with no side effects? Pharmacist Ben sees the human body as a healing and regenerating system, divinely designed to heal and renew itself on a moment-to-moment
frequent basis, but it needs nutrition and nutritional supplementation. Ben says you've got to be on a nutritional supplement program if you want to be healthy in 21st century America, and he wants to help people get off the toxic drug treadmill and get on a good nutritional supplement program. I support what pharmacist Ben is saying and doing to help America get healthier, and I urge you to watch and listen to Ben deliver his powerful message at your convenience. Just go to AmericaTonightTeam.com. That's AmericaTonightTeam.com.
You store guns, ammo, and food and water. But do you store peace of mind when it comes to your firearms? Now you can with Duracoat. The last thing anyone needs is a firearm that won't work when you need it most. Improve the factory finish and Duracoat your firearms once for a lifetime of protection against rust and corrosion. And Duracoat also protects against water, salt water, mud, grime, or whatever nature throws at you. The Duracoat Shake and Spray Finishing Kit has everything you need to finish a complete firearm for just $34.95. No need for an airbrush or other spray equipment. Just degrease, then spray on Duracoat and let dry for a lifetime of protection. Duracoat is the simplest and most user-friendly firearm finish you can buy. Use Duracoat on knives, camping equipment, or anything metal, plastic, or wood you want to protect from the elements. Call 800-830-6677 or visit Duracoat.net. Spelled Duracoat.net. Duracoat, the finest firearm finish on the planet.
Earthquakes, hurricanes, floods, all sorts of natural disasters happen. Some of you are ready, some are not. MySurvivalGoods.com gets you ready. Think basics. Do you have a home first aid kit, a car emergency kit, a basic urban survival kit? MySurvivalGoods.com has kits. Then the big stuff. Ready for system interruptions caused by natural or man-made disasters, terrorism, government collapse, social chaos?
Are you ready to bug out?
Could you survive off the grid for a minimum of 3 days like FEMA says?
Well, don't count on FEMA.
Count on high-quality kits from MySurvivalGoods.com. Check out our large selection of emergency kits for cars, homes, schools, and office, and bug-out bags, first aid and flu kits, emergency water and food. Even build your very own custom emergency kit. 100% satisfaction guaranteed. Go to MySurvivalGoods.com now. That's MySurvivalGoods.com. Don't delay. Prepare today.
Reports that the State Department had 230 security incidents, is what they're calling them, in Libya in the year before September's deadly attack that took the lives of four Americans, including the ambassador, Ambassador Stevens. But they kept giving the impression that, oh, it's all safe there. Give me a break. Come on. Talk about the highway to hell. That's what it was there. So it was artificially showing that, yeah, things are okay. Things are getting better. Not that the people who were there, the diplomats, didn't realize that there was, of course, danger. There was danger there. But the story that keeps on giving is all the confusion over what happened when, and was it that crazy 14-minute rambling nonsense of the Prophet Muhammad film that set off this attack? The answer is no. What's very sad to me is, put everything else aside, but you look at the pictures of what happened there, and man, you just feel for the families whose husbands, brothers, etc., were there when all that melee broke out, because knowing what the State Department knew, you would think if they were going to skimp on security, it wouldn't have been a place like Libya, that this Benghazi foothold at the consulate doesn't make any sense. Instead of giving this impression that Libya is safer than it was, why wouldn't you ramp up the efforts to keep the people safe who are trying to serve the country and serve the people of Libya, frankly, which is what the ambassador especially was doing, and instead he's in the middle of this firestorm. And what's happening now, too, is they're talking about testimony that's fueling the flames on the Hill over how the administration handled this whole attack, meaning the security, which to me is the bigger thing, and then the public explanation, which was just all over the map. Oh, we'll say this and then that and then say 10 different things. So you knew that they were scrambling and trying to make it, cover it up and make it sound better than it was. But especially the security thing, that's wrong. Who's in charge at the State Department that they don't look at these reports, or they decide, okay, we have to have budget cuts and that's where you're going to cut the budgets? Come on, give me a break. And was the security pulled back before the September 11th hit? Or after that, Victoria Nuland, who's the spokesperson of the State Department, wouldn't even go into any of that, wouldn't even give any of the timeline details. Doesn't she realize we all want a timeline? For goodness sake, look at Facebook. Give us a timeline of what happened here. But they're just definitely skipping around that. And it's too bad, because they had to have known that this, I mean, this is like a murder capital of the Middle East when it comes to explosives and all that kind of stuff. So, of course, the attack on Benghazi had to have been coordinated. There must have been somebody inside. Must have been. In Benghazi. Mm. All right, I always implore you to send your thoughts through the miracle of the internet, snail mail, as it were, at americatonight.net. Click on contact, as I say, bada bing, you are in. If you want to throw in your 2 cents, you can do that at 855-266-KATE, 855-266-5283. But let's head to the mail.
You have mail, mistress.
Thank you very much. And my first piece of mail comes to us from Eric, who says, wow, these polls are getting very interesting. I agree with you when you say, you know, you can manipulate polls however you want to, but there has to be something in the hocus pocus. Otherwise, why even bother paying for polls? You wouldn't do it. And there's no way any of these political guys would waste their time on looking at trends and polls. There's a reason they do it. They use it as a tool. Kate, you're absolutely 100% right. So to me, Romney leading in swing states, taking the lead in Ohio, pretty close in a lot of the other states, shows that there is some movement. And maybe Romney may just win the election after all. Well, I still say it would shock a lot of people if Romney were to win. Even though a lot of Democrats are giving the impression, Eric, that, yeah, you know, we're concerned. Deep down, I don't think they are concerned. I don't think they believe that Romney can win this. So there may be some surprises, and it would be a shock, because you have an incumbent president. No matter what, incumbent is the key word. Incumbent, they normally have a much better shot at re-election. It's never a shoo-in. Remember Jimmy Carter and Ronald Reagan. Maybe some of the strategies, though, are paying off for the Romney people. And it's just all about the timing. A lot of this has to center around the economy. So the team of David Axelrod and Robert Gibbs may end up sweating this one out on election night. I do think it may come down to that sweating it out. the map's kind of interesting. If you look at where Ohio is, if you look at some of those other swing states, it's all about the numbers. At this point, it's numbers, numbers, numbers. Absentee ballots, early voting, all of that counts. That's part of being in the mix, without a doubt. Absolutely. 855-266-KATE, 855-266-5283. Jerry Sandusky has minds of many, including this one from Jake in Austin, who says, bravo, you knew for sure he was going to be sentenced to enough time that he would be in jail for the rest of his life. The guy is a scumbag, Kate. Don't sugarcoat it. You usually never do. Pedophiles are terrible individuals, and I hate it when people try to soften it and say that they can be rehabilitated. If you look at the statistics, without a doubt, there is no rehabilitation here. I think they should all be put on a place that you called a long time ago Misfit Island. Wouldn't that be great? The damage to those children that turn into adults and then what happens to those families is irreparable, no matter how many psychiatrists they go and see, and no matter what kind of treatment they seek. Well, here's the thing, Jake. I do hope for people who have had something happen to them, like the horrors of Jerry Sandusky, who I believe may have been doing that in his house, because, you know, his wife obviously turned a blind eye to some of the stuff that was happening. How could she not know? And then hearing what's said and he acts like a victim makes it even that much more sickening, I believe. But you're never going to get people in this psychiatric world to say that there is no hope. And I hope that for the sake of the people that have been victimized, there is hope that they can live in the moment and find a way to block out as much as possible the things that happen. But there is a break of trust, and I think, as in any relationships or things that happen, the trust is so key. When that goes out the window, it affects your perception of the world and trusting people that you encounter in general. And to have these boys turn into men who go on and have children, and then what that does to those families is just so sad, so sickening. It really is. And to have Sandusky stand there and act as if he's the victim, I mean, that's the saddest part of this whole thing.
Don't throw away leftovers. Instead, throw all your leftovers, vegetable peels, eggshells, coffee grounds, pizza crusts, and more into the Bokashi. If you love to garden and compost but don't like the hassle of turning a compost bin or the smell, then check out the EM Bokashi Food Waste Recycling System from Terraganics. Finally, a way to recycle all your food and plant waste safely and effectively and stop using fertilizers. The EM Bokashi Food Waste Recycling System. Rather than decomposition, the Bokashi system uses fermentation to break down waste, so it takes less time to create nutrient dense humus for crops or gardens with no turning and no obnoxious odors. To learn more and order your Bokashi online, visit Terraganics.com and click on the orange button. That's Terraganics.com, spelled Terraganix.com, or call 866-369-3678. That's 866-369-3678. Recycle all your food wastes in about 6 weeks with the Bokashi Food Waste Recycling System from Terraganics.com. Terraganics, life's getting better.